morning. And welcome to worship this morning, even though it's a wee bit wet and blowy. I was underestimating things there. Intimations first. Event of a fire alarm, we will exit either through that door there or through the door there, straight through, and then meet again in the car park up at the school. Time for... There's no tea and coffee. That's fine. Can we have tea and coffee? No. No tea and coffee afterwards, so we'll move on. Just an sort of advice. We did the communion Monday, Thursday last year, and there was a whole load of people who weren't normally taking communion from this congregation, and they were a wee bit surprised with the ginger wine. So it was just a wee reminder that we're serving ginger wine as the communion wine. And some of it may be ginger and blackcurrant. But there will be a retiring offering after this morning's worship for the work of the church. And tonight at 7 o'clock up at the manse, Sunday night at the manse, we're continuing the prayer course. This is a time where we can just understand a bit more about the Lord's Prayer. Unfortunately, we're a bit further behind because somebody was off for some weeks. But we'll start that again. Get together on Wednesday, 4th of March at 11:30 to 2 o'clock at Ardeer in the hall. And on Friday, the 6th of March at 2 o'clock, the World Day of Prayer service at the United Free Church, the Tin Kirk in Ardeer. On the 11th of March, it's a week Wednesday, it's a joint Kirk session meeting, and that's down at Ardeer. We'll actually have Ian Sutherland back doing a wee bit more work. We do have some business that we need to deal with, but Ian will be doing some more work on what a learning community is. And questions answered. So, from me this time, you'll have seen it and heard it from other people. But the box across there with cards and pens. If you've got a question around the union of the two congregations, whether that's just or whatever it is around union buildings, then this is the time to ask it. Please put it on the cards in the box, and what will happen is in a couple of weeks' time, boxes will be taken back. There's one down in Ardeer. Boxes will be taken back, and the questions will be answered after the shared worship on Sunday the 29th of March. This is work that's come from a suggestion of people. You've seen this in the newsletter. Suggestion of people from both congregations, where it's come to the Kirk sessions. Kirk sessions is great. The learning community is now taking that bit of work forward, and the learning community will be looking at the questions, and we will be sorting out the answers. And there's also an opportunity on the 29th that you might still have a question, and you can ask it then. Little Houses of Prayer, a wee explanation about what Little Houses of Prayer are. It is simply small groups of people meet together to pray. So small groups meeting from the congregations and meeting to pray in a particular way through blessings. And Ian Sutherland, who I mentioned earlier, is the trainer for Scotland for this. And so he's coming the 28th of March, and we'll do the training between 10 and 4. And that's available to everyone. After that, in Sunday night in the manse after Easter, will be the blessing course, which is connected to the Little House of Prayer. And then we come to the coronavirus, and what I need to say is you should have all had your hands washed. If anyone got past Maureen on the door, report to her now. It's a funny, but actually it's not funny. Yesterday the church issued guidance on dealing with the virus, and there's posters now on the boards in the hall and in the corridor there. So we will be using hand sanitizers or wipes before the worship, and we should continue best hygiene practice to reserve no pastoral contacts. So when I suppose the important bit about for this morning is obviously with the bread and the wine's going out, it's all individual cups. That's fine, there's not a problem with that. But when the bread comes out, please just take a piece from the tray. Nobody's going to serve you a piece of bread from the tray, and I'm not going to serve the elders with the bread directly. They're just going to have to pick up from the tray. The idea is we should not be touching anything that we're not going to deal with ourselves. And until such times as who knows where this comes from, goes to. I think that's all the intimations. This is part of the reading this morning, but I just want to share this as a call to worship. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come and we worship you this morning. We praise you. We give you thanks for all that you do. And we bless you, Lord. Lord, by your Spirit present with us now, enable us to worship you fully. Hear us, Lord, as we praise you and bless you. Amen. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Let's rise to worship. To uplift the offering, we're going to sing a song through this time. It's We Believe in God the Father. Now, the tune is a tune you heard just before the service started, and it's not an easy one. But the important thing about this song is that when you see the words, it actually follows the creeds. We believe in God the Father, maker of the universe, and in Christ his Son, our Saviour, come to us by virgin birth. We believe he died to save us, bore our sins, was crucified, then from death he rose victorious, ascended to the Father's side. Jesus, Lord of all, Lord of all. So, after hearing it, and the thing this morning is, when you think you've got the tune, that's fine, we maybe start to join in. I'm not too fussed. The idea this morning is just to hear it, to get to grips a bit more. So, and I'm going to use, because we're looking at the Apostles' Creed this month, my intention is to use that through the offering for this month. So we'll sit and we'll just sing that as the offering is being uplifted. We believe in God the Father, maker of the universe. Together in prayer. Let's pray. Because Jesus himself has passed through the test of suffering, he is able to help those who are in the midst of their test. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, but did not sin. Give us grace to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit. And as you know our weakness, so may we know your power to save. And Father, as we come before you, may we acknowledge that Jesus is name above all names. He is Lord of all. And we come and we confess that, Lord, not just to you, but to ourselves and to each other. Lord, as we worship you this morning, we come to give you our all. All that we are, all that you have made us. And Father, as we present these, our offerings to you, these are all that we have, all that we are, and these are all gifts, gifts from you, Lord. So we return a token of our wealth, asking that it and all we possess be used for your glory. Blessed be God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. To start the series on the Apostles' Creed, and I think it's important that we actually say the Apostles' Creed. I'm going to do it as responses to questions. So there's three questions, everything else in the response. There's the last bit, but I'll say that myself, and it will be available next week. So let's rise to say the Apostles' Creed and affirm our faith together. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is the faith of the Church. This is our faith in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we're proud to profess it together. Amen. Please be seated. So we come to dwell in the Word, which will be read by Sandy. And it's from Ephesians chapter 4, and it's the first 16 verses.
As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
So let's just take a moment in prayer as we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in our hearts and our minds to what he's actually trying to say through this reading to each one, and then we'll, after Sandy reads it again, we'll just sit, remain seated and sing and focus my eyes on you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask by your Spirit that you would just be present in this place, that you would inspire us, our hearts and our minds, that the words that, as we hear them read again, those words that you would have us pay most attention to you. Lord, will you just point them out to us in whatever way that is. In Jesus' name, amen.
As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Father, we turn to you and ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that the perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I'll be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said, and I pray that I'll be very, very clear. And this will bring great honour and glory to your name. I
I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Some people might recognize the following words. I promise that I'll do my best to do my duty to God and to the Queen, to help other people and to keep the Cub Scout law, the Scout law. And also there's, I swear by Almighty God, I will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, we make promises, and these are just a couple of the promises that I've used in my life. But we make promises, and we affirm our belief in something. We commit to our employers, we commit to leisure activities, we commit in many different ways, and we say things around that. And Paul writes to the Romans, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And so as we start to think about what our creed is, what the creed means for us, I just want to think a couple of things here. As a cub and then as a scout, and even as a leader, I wonder sometimes when is the point I got to when I understood those promises. You know, I could recite the cub promise and law and the scout promise and law. In fact, I remember quite clearly that as a cub and as a scout, we didn't get to the investiture. The leaders wouldn't let us get to investiture without being able to recite the promise and the law without a mistake. And it was at that point that we could actually go to the point of becoming a cub or a scout. And later, as I became a leader in the same scout group, I learnt that kind of standard. And I remember speaking with the boys and teaching them and getting them to know what the promise was, to know what the law was, to be able to say, Cub Scouts always do their best, think of others before themselves, and do a good turn every day. And they'd be able to say it confidently. But you know, there's a thing behind all that. Did I really know what they meant? Did I really know what I was saying? And I wonder that I probably never did. If I think back as a scout or a cub, I never really knew what the promise and the law meant. I could say the words. But actually, as I went through the practice of scouting, I was beginning to understand what the promise and the law meant. I've got that to understand it more and more. Things made more sense to me. So it was actually the practice, the doing of the scouting, to enact out what the law said, to enact out what the promise said. These were the things that actually started to do the learning. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so as we get to the Apostles' Creed, a statement of our faith, and now it's just one of a few statements of faith that we have within, particularly the Church of Scotland. But the Christian Church is more or less unique in having statements of faith. This is on top of Scripture, and it's not to replace Scripture, but it's actually to try and make Scripture more understandable as well. So as we say the Apostles' Creed, that statement of faith, what are we saying? What does it mean to say, I believe in? What does it mean when we actually say, I believe in God the Father Almighty? What does that actually mean? To have faith, to have belief. To have belief, to believe is to have faith. To have faith is to trust in. And we turn to our God who is faithful to us. That thing about belief is faith, is trust in our God. We can believe in a number of things, in any number of things, but actually to believe in is to put your full trust in. And as Christians, we profess that we believe in God, our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Again, when we look at the Apostles' Creed, N.T. Wright makes the point that the Creed doesn't outline lots of things about what Jesus did. It doesn't outline lots of things of what Jesus said. It doesn't speak of Jesus' healing or teaching. And it doesn't do that because it's never been intended to do that. The Creed developed over a period of time by the early church, by the people of the early church. And those are the people who were meeting in small groups and houses and caves. Those were the people who were meeting against the law, against the Roman law. Those were the people that were meeting and could be persecuted for meeting. But then we'll develop their own wee statements. But what was common around was at baptism, which was the formal admission to the Christian community, they were asked to confirm their faith by answering three questions. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty? Do you believe in Jesus Christ the Son? And do you believe in the Holy Spirit? These are the questions that they had to answer, to respond to. And so this creed has developed. But before this creed actually finally developed, here's something that one of the church fathers, Tertullian, wrote. He says, Christians believed that there is only one God, the creator of the world, who produced all things out of nothing through his own word, sent forth first of all, that this word is called his Son, and under the name of God, was seen in various ways by the patriarchs, heard at all times in the prophets, at last brought down by the Spirit and power of the Father into the Virgin Mary, was made flesh in her womb, and being born of her, went forth as Jesus Christ. He then preached the new law and the new promise of the kingdom of heaven, and worked miracles. Having been crucified, he rose again on the third day. Having ascended into the heavens, he sat at the right hand of the Father, sent in his place the power of the Holy Spirit to guide those who believe and will come with glory to take the saints to the enjoyment of everlasting life and of the heavenly promises. These small confessions of faith actually start to become what we see as a rule of faith, a rule of a way of living. And the Apostles' Creed was actually the final outcome of a long process of reflection and refinement, bringing together all these Christian communities. And you know, it was something, it was accepted by them, not because it had come from out with the church and been put on the people, but because it had come from within the people. It was everything that they said, everything that they knew. It's almost by the people, for the people. We're aware of the Nicene Creed. That came later. But that was developed basically by a gathering of bishops. And that was kind of viewed more of something had been passed down to the communities. And some places it had been referred to as the Bishops' Creed. So the Apostles' Creed has come from the different Christian communities, and the Nicene Creed had really come from, a couple hundred years later, come from a gathering of bishops. But the Apostles' Creed served and serves us, I believe, two very important functions. First of all, it was a shared statement of faith. Can be easily memorized, and it was then through constant repetition in public worship. And it's the thing that was used for new Christians to confess and summarize their faith in Jesus Christ. It's also seen as a very useful preaching and teaching tool, giving an outline of the basic themes of faith for further discussion and exploration. The Apostles' Creed then sits as a way of expressing our faith. Something that we can learn the words of, we can recite, but actually something that takes a bit of time for us to be able to understand what it all means. In our reading this morning, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, he urges, he exhorts the people to live a life worthy of the calling they have received, to be completely humble and gentle, to be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And that leads us to the uniqueness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm beginning to express some of what we find in the Apostles' Creed. There is one God. There is one baptism. There is one faith. We have one hope in all that. There is another one that Paul writes about to another church, to the church in Corinth, and he says this from 1 Corinthians 10. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. If we live that life, beginning to understand our faith, begin to practice all that's within our faith, suddenly the Apostles' Creed makes sense for us. Spoken about the Nicene Creed, and I just want to share this one other statement of faith with you. And it's this, it says this: we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is love. We praise God the Father, who created the universe and keeps it in being. He has made us his sons and daughters to share his joy, living together in justice and peace, caring for his world and for each other. We proclaim Jesus Christ, God the Son, born of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became one of us, sharing our life and our death. He made known God's compassion and mercy, giving hope and declaring forgiveness of sin, offering healing and wholeness for all. By his death on the cross and by his resurrection, he has triumphed over evil. Jesus is Lord of life and of all creation. We trust God, the Holy Spirit, who unites us to Christ and gives life to the church, who brings us to repentance and assures us of forgiveness. The Spirit guides us in our understanding of the Bible, renews us in the sacraments, and calls us to serve God in the world. We rejoice in the gift of eternal life. We have sure and certain hope of resurrection through Christ, and we look for his coming again to judge the world. Then all things will be made new, and creation will rejoice in worshiping the Father through the Son in the power of the Spirit, one God blessed forever. Amen. This statement of faith was authorized for use in worship and teaching by the General Assembly in 1992. As you'll hear, it goes into much more detail about a range of things of the character of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It speaks much more. But as we look at these things, the Apostles' Creed gives us these outlines of doctrines, of theologies, of understanding. I've said, as we explore our faith deeper and in practicing and living as exhorted by Paul, completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing one another, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is how we deepen our faith. And there's a point where duty turns to joy, where we do because we want to, we desire to, and not because we feel we have to. That bond of peace, that oneness, that unity comes through that, focusing in on who we are and whose we are. As we turn to the table, just remember Paul's words. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf. We who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. We celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's table, which is open to all. To all who love the Lord Jesus Christ and wish to love him more. And just a reminder again, at the appropriate time, the bread will be distributed, and just take from the tray and then just wait until everybody's been served. And we'll eat together. And the same will happen with the wine. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with each one of you. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Let's rise to worship. We are here because Jesus has invited us. When Jesus was on earth, he often enjoyed meals with his friends and many others, many of whom were considered unworthy by the chief priests and rulers. And on the night before he died, when darkness was beginning to fall, he sat at table with the disciples in an upper room in Jerusalem. At this, which we now know as the Last Supper, he broke bread and took wine and told his disciples to remember him by following his example. Today we are his disciples, and we are glad to do what he has told us. As we approach the table, we enter afresh God's covenant, the new covenant through Jesus Christ, and we should not enter it lightly. But we should also expect to see Jesus. This covenant is a covenant born out of love, God's love for his created beings. And so as we eat the bread and drink the wine, we remember Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, his body broken, beaten, nailed on a cross, his blood shed. We remember him dead, but we also remember him risen again. As the disciples did around the table, we do in this place, at this table. We share bread and wine. We reaffirm our love for him by entering into this covenant, his covenant, the new covenant, made and completed by him through grace for each one of us. This is about our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where his love for us is the very center of what we do here. A sacrament fulfilled in the giving up of Jesus Christ, so that in his brokenness we might be set free from sin. Paul writes, "The tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that in the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes.'" And so as the Lord Jesus took bread, I take this bread and wine to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use and mystery. And so as he gave thanks, let us give our thanks and our praise. We bow before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Holy, holy, holy God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now we give thanks that Son though he was, Jesus learned obedience through suffering and is able to help those who are in the midst of their trial to overcome evil and grow in grace. Because you, gracious God, have been faithful to us, we are faithful to Jesus. He's promised to be with those who meet in his name. This we believe. He promised to hear the prayers of his faithful people. This we believe. He said that in the communion of bread and wine, he would be present to us as we remembered him. This we celebrate. So send now your Spirit among us and upon this bread and wine, that we may taste and see your goodness, be embraced by your love, and be engaged in your service. And hear us, Heavenly Father, as we pray together, using the words that Jesus taught, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Not in temptation, deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom. Gone to the holy institution, example, and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and remembrance of him we do this, who on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, give us your peace. So take this bread, share this wine, and this, and these things, Christ comes to us with love from God, the gifts of God from the people of God. And just a reminder, as the bread comes out, take a piece and hold on to it until we're all served. Take ye, eat ye. This is the body of Christ, which is for you. Christ's blood shed, so that the sins of many may be forgiven. Thank you. And the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your goodness to us at the table of our Lord, where we have remembered him and offered ourselves to his service till he comes again in glory. In the name of our risen Lord, we pray for all the children of your love. Lord, in your mercy, pray, hear our prayer. We pray for our homes and families, that parents may be faithful to the promises of baptism, that children may grow in love and happiness, that young people may discover the joy of obedience to Jesus Christ, and that those who are old may be honored and loved. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the family of the church, that your people may be attentive to the things of Christ, and that your love may be reflected in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the whole human family, that the peoples of the world, from east and west, from north and south, may share in the good things you have given us. And Father, as we pray, and we pray that in your mercy you'd hear our prayer, we pray, Lord, for this world, for the response to and all that's happening around the coronavirus. Lord, we pray for a world of peace and blessing, for healing and wholeness. We pray too for those who are yet again struggling with flooding, with storms, with Storm Jurgi. Lord, that they would know in the midst of all that chaos, your peace and your touch. And Father, as we pray, we do remember our brother David Frew. We pray for his family. We pray for all his friends. And Lord, we ask a blessing on each one. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bring nearer the day when all people will live in peace and praise your name forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forevermore. Amen. And just a reminder that David's funeral will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Kilwinning Old, and then on to Kilwinning Cemetery. Thy hand, O God, has guided thy flock from age to age. Let's rise to worship. Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, we have known the presence of your Son here in this place. We have eaten and we have drank, and we remember Jesus Christ, our Saviour, your Son. Father, as we leave this place, may our faith carry us in through the week, to be able to share with those who you put in our ways. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you.